Well, Dr. Moira Junger is a sleep clinician who spends most of her working days dealing with people's sleep issues, and especially the elderly. Hello, Moira.
Hello, Emma. Nice to be with you.
Is it the case that older people need less sleep, or just that they have more trouble getting to sleep?
Yeah, the latter. It's quite well established these days that older people probably need just as much sleep as they did in their earlier adult years. Certainly not when they were a child. There's quite big differences across the lifespan between, say, babies, little children, adolescents. But then once we're adults, our sleep needs tend to stay fairly stable. But what happens is it's harder to get good quality sleep, and you wake more. There's more prevalence of sleep disorders, more prevalence of other things that might keep you awake, like arthritis or a range of different things that interfere with it. So I suppose it's just like the rest of the aging process as we get older. You know, there's changes in our body, there's changes in our hair goes grey, we get wrinkles, there's a whole range of other things, and sleep's just one of those things that just ain't what it used to be.
Oh, it sounds like so much fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What about Marjorie's experience, though? She sounds like she's kind of figured it out that she needs to go to sleep later in order to feel well-rested.
Yeah, I was really interested to hear that because in general terms, I mean, obviously there's always exceptions, but and Marjorie is one of those. But in general, in terms of changes in terms of hormonal things with sleep, the hormone melatonin that we secrete, often the older we get, the more early that's secreted. Generally speaking, like say the typical normal healthy adult might start to feel sleepy around 10, but often in the older people, it's usually a bit earlier. And you tend to go to bed earlier and wake up earlier.
Mm.
But in Marjorie's case, she's actually, say, a lifelong night owl, or sort of was from having the five children and having to stay up late just getting everything done just to keep the household running. She's developed sort of patterns of preferring to be a night owl and staying up later and sleeping in. It sounds wonderful. I'm so heartened to hear that her and husband have worked that out so nicely.
Yes.
That she could sleep in till 7 or 8, because a lot of people I deal with don't have that much flexibility. Like they're masquerading in a daytime life where they have to get up and be the office by 8, but their body clock's screaming out saying, I really want to sleep through till 9 or 10.
So what is your advice, Moira, for older people who are finding that sleep is just not happening? It's not a good thing for them. What can they do?
Well, it's really important to first establish, like have a pretty good assessment of what the causes are. So it's very important, whether you're speaking with your GP or speaking with a counsellor or psychologist or maybe just, you know, a sleep physician. Depends on how extreme it is. Some people never really get that far. They just sort of, they think this is my lot in life or this is my lot at this stage in my life. I think the most important thing is to make sure that there's a clear understanding that there's no other medical problem going that might be contributing to the sleep problem. Or, you know, if there's something waking them up, it's always good to get medically cleared. It's like if you have to go to the toilet a lot at night, just to check that there's nothing going wrong there. Just have a good sort of medical overview. And the other main thing is to actually just accept, I guess, that it is part of aging, that, you know, your sleep isn't as good as it's going to be. You're going to wake more, unfortunately. You're going to have more sleep disturbance. You're more at risk of things like obstructive sleep apnea. You're more at risk of having restless leg syndrome, like, you know, periodic limb movements during sleep, making sometimes people are just more restless and that tends to wake them up. So one of the things I always talk to people about is that you can't stop the waves coming, but you can learn to surf. You know, you can actually, sometimes you have to accept where we're at and what's going on with ourselves, but we can learn to adapt to it. So if someone was waking more than they wanted to and they were staying awake more, they have to identify that perhaps sometimes part of the problem might be that they're really fretting about that and getting really frustrated by that, and that contribute, and that in turn accidentally shoots themselves in the foot and inadvertently keeping on the cycle. So trying to actually not try to sleep, if you like. It's actually coming to acceptance of what's going on and not trying to sleep. Definitely keeping good routines, like making sure that they're in and out of bed roughly the same time every day. Getting plenty of natural light, particularly in the morning. If with melatonin, the sleep hormone we're just talking about, it's secreted in response to darkness and it's suppressed by a bright morning light. So depending on what you want to do with your sleep, it's really nice to know those two things, like those facts. You know, if melatonin is secreted in darkness and it's suppressed by bright light. So if you want to stay up a bit later, you can actually have the bright light in the evening. if you wanted to learn to actually get up a bit earlier, you have the bright light in the morning. So just making sure you work it out for yourself, what your sleep problem is, what your desired sleep time is as well.
Okay, so head to your GPs to find out, you know, if there is a definitive answer to what's causing a bit of sleep trouble. But what are the effects, particularly on older people, if they're not getting the sleep and feeling as well rested?
Well, it can be, you know, it's really debilitating. People can feel they have a lot of difficulty with concentration and memory and mood regulation as well. Sometimes it can really trigger, if there's an underlying anxiety or depression, the sleep disturbance can really exacerbate that. So that's why I'm so passionate about the area and work in the area, because it's actually sleep, it's really, really important, and it's important for people to take it seriously as well, say people around them, like health professionals and family members, if someone is having difficulty with their sleep, to actually have that support and sympathy and try to get it sorted out. Because it can be a range of different things. It can, as I said, across like both physical and emotional problems with sleep. But if someone's not sleeping much or they're waking a lot and they're not really having any problems with that, then that's okay as well, because most things in the psychology world, we don't really identify that something's a disorder or a problem until the person starts to say, look, it's affecting my social or my emotional or my occupational functioning. So until it does that, it's actually not really a problem. So some people listening might think, I didn't know I had to be worried about my sleep. So you don't need to be worried about your sleep unless it is affecting your functioning in some way. Some people go very, very well having 5 or 6 hours and plus being interrupted, and then some people feel they need 9 or 10. So it really is a lot of individual variation across individuals.
Yeah, I think I'm in the latter group there, Moira, but I never get it. Thank you very much for having a chat with us today about that.
My pleasure, Emma, anytime.
Dr. Moira Junger is a sleep clinician and the chairperson of the Australasian Sleep Association's Insomnia and Sleep Health Special Interest Group.